Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us, and I hope this program is a blessing to you, and I hope it is an aid in helping you to read and to study the Word of God. Now today I'm going to continue preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. The title of the message is Hidden Mysteries Revealed. Hidden Mysteries Revealed. Now, salvation, well, even the gospel message itself, believed, heard, understood, and believed, is a revelation from God. It's actually a gift from God. The Bible tells us that salvation is of the Lord. It's not of man. And even believing it, even believing the gospel, is a gift from God. I quote all the time Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then it goes on in verse 10 there, it says, "For we are His workmanship." If I'm a sinner saved by grace, I'm not a self-made person. I'm a work of God. That's God's work. God saves, not man. You see, people today, they have the impression that God did everything He could do. Now you've got to seal the deal or make the right choice. My friend, if God saves you, you will make the right choice because He gives you the heart and the will and the mind to do so. That's what this passage in 1 Corinthians 2 is talking about. One of the many passages. So that if I believe the gospel, if I really receive Christ as my real Savior, if I really believe in Him, I still don't have anything to brag about. I can't say, well, I'm saved because I made the right choice, but these other people who are lost, they didn't. No, sir. If left to myself, I would not choose God. And that's the way it is with you. That's what the Bible teaches. There's none that seeketh after God. That's man by nature. And of course, the reason I started this passage in 1 Corinthians 2 is somebody asked me about this. I always quote this verse quite often in my preaching in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Just look over at it just for a moment. This is where we're headed. When it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," spiritually evaluated, spiritually estimated, spiritually understood. Now, who is he speaking of here in verse 14? The natural man. Well, that's all of us by nature, as we are naturally born into this world. You know, I think some people really imagine that they were born saved. Well, if that's true, that they were never the natural man. And it's not true. Nobody is born saved in physical birth. Salvation is brought about by a new birth. That's why Christ said you must be born again. And the reason we must be born again is because our natural birth was born in sin. The Bible teaches that we fell in Adam. When Adam fell, he brought the whole human family into sin and death. And as a result of that, we're born in trespasses and sin. We're born dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And I've had people argue with me about that, and they would say, well, we're not sinners until we make the first choice to sin. Well, the thing about it is, we have to understand that as we're naturally born, we have no spiritual mind, spiritual heart. We have a mind, we have hearts, that is the emotions, the affections, the will, but we have no proclivity, we have no desire towards God, to glorify God. Now that doesn't mean we're not religious, because man by nature is religious, but his religion is wrong, and that's what we're going to see here. The natural man refers to men and women born dead in sin. I asked a man one time who was arguing against that. I said, well, if that's true, then why is it that no human being ever born, or ever that will be born here on this sinful earth, makes the choice not to sin? Because we're all sinners. We'll quote Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, why is that? It's because we're the natural man. So this is where we're headed for this. Now, in the last couple of messages, I talked about the Christian worldview. And what I meant by that is this is how a true believer, a true Christian, views the world. And we're going to continue talking about that. But here's what I want you to see today. This hidden mystery revealed. Look at verse 6. That's where I dealt with last week. It talks about howbeit we speak. This is 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now, who's he talking about there? The ones he's talking about who are perfect and complete are believers. Now how, you know what a believer is? A believer is a sinner saved by grace. Once a person is saved, that person does not stop being a sinner in the sense that he now measures up in his character and conduct to the standard of perfect righteousness. Now, I've heard people say, well, I'm no longer a sinner, and maybe what they mean by that is, well, I'm no longer an unbeliever. Well, a believer is not an unbeliever, but he still has unbelief in him. Have you ever had moments of doubt? Have you ever got the why me syndrome? Have you ever complained? Well, in the Bible, that's unbelief. That's the sin that so easily besets us, Hebrews chapter 12. And the only remedy is looking unto Jesus, the author and the completer, the finisher of our faith. So once a person is saved, they don't stop being a sinner. You see, so when he says we speak the wisdom of God, or speak wisdom, and that's what he's talking about, the wisdom of God, among them that are perfect, he's talking about justified persons, justified sinners. Now, what is it to be justified? To be justified is to be not guilty, not condemned for sin. And it means to be declared before God legally righteous. Now, how can I, a sinner, be not guilty and not condemned and legally declared righteous? There's only one way, and that's by the grace of God, based upon the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am perfect, not in myself, and you don't have to be around me very long to find that out. I am not perfect in myself, but I'm perfect in Christ because He's perfect. I have His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me. And God cannot lay any sin to my charge. He knows I'm a sinner, and I am a sinner, but He doesn't impute, charge sin to me. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And for that reason, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Now, Paul writes here by inspiration of the Spirit, he says, we speak this wisdom among them that are perfect. Those who are perfect, that perfection that they have in Christ is evidenced by their faith in Christ. And you need to understand that. Back over in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross. Now, the preaching of the cross is not simply the historical fact that Christ died, was buried, and arose again. That's included. But the preaching of the cross is the preaching of the finished work of Christ to redeem his people and establish righteousness for them that demands their whole salvation, their justification before God, the gospel. Paul said it in verse 1 of chapter 2. He said, verse 2 of chapter 2, we preach Christ, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the finished, that's the glorious person, God in human flesh, Christ is, and the finished work of Christ. Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. In other words, when I preach what I preach, the finished work of Christ, it's foolishness to them that are perishing. But unto us which are saved, literally being saved, it is the power of God. And later on down there, he says, it's the wisdom of God. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, that's the regenerate, that's the born again, that's believers. 1 Corinthians 1:24, both Jews and Greeks, or Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, only believers, those who have been, and listen, the Bible identifies the people of God in many ways. They're called the elect of God. Who are the elect of God? Believers. That's who they are. They're known by their calling of the gospel. And that's what we're talking about, the hidden mysteries revealed, the hidden mysteries of God's grace and mercy in Christ have been revealed to them by God. They're the justified. We speak the wisdom of God among them that are perfect. They're justified. They're complete. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. My completeness is not in myself. My completeness is in Christ. I'm justified. I'm washed clean from all my sins. What does that mean? It means they're paid for. He paid my debt. Jesus paid it all. And I'm justified. I'm righteous in Him based on His righteousness imputed to me. And how do I know that I stand perfect in Him? Because I believe in Him. Now listen to me very carefully here. Because I believe in Christ as He's identified and distinguished in the Bible. You know, there are counterfeit Christ. How do you know the difference between a counterfeit and the true? Who is Jesus Christ and what did He accomplish on the cross? Did He die just to make you savable or make salvation a possibility if you would do your part? That's a false Christ, I'm telling you. Or did He die to seal it all? Well, He says here in 1 Corinthians 2, He died to seal it all. But now, when we preach the gospel, it's the wisdom of God among them that are perfect. But look at verse 6 again of 1 Corinthians 2. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. This is wisdom. Oh, it is. Yet, not the wisdom of this world. Now, as we've been talking about a worldview, the world's way of salvation is not wise, it's foolish. It's a way of death. There is a way that seems right unto men, but it's a way that leads to death. It's the broad road that leads to destruction. So this gospel message that declares how God can be just and justify the ungodly based upon the righteousness of Christ imputed and received by God-given faith, it's not the wisdom of this world. The world never even come up. The world has no idea about real salvation. And he says, nor of the princes of this world. The princes of this world refers to the elite, the nobles, the royalty. But not just the royalty, it also refers to the teachers and the intellectuals, the philosophers, the theologians as they call themselves. The princes of this world would include the ones that the mass of people look to for answers. You know, everybody's got their spiritual guru. And we find out, you know, that's who he's talking about. But what he's saying here is this. None of those people ever came up with anything like this. This is not the wisdom of the world. It's not the wisdom of the princes of this world. And all what they say comes to naught, it says. That means it comes to nothing. It's a big fat zero. It's vanity of vanities, as the book of Ecclesiastes speaks of it. I don't care, the smartest man or woman in the world has no idea of how God saves sinners according to His justice and His glory until God intervenes in His Word by the power of the Spirit and reveals it to him. And look here at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And let's read verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now let me unpack those verses for you. But here's what he's saying. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, in the Bible, a mystery is not what we normally think of as a mystery. You know, you might go to the bookstore or go see a movie that's a mystery. And what you have there, you have maybe somebody commits a crime, and then you have a detective like Sherlock Holmes or Mrs. Marple or somebody like that, and they have to figure out who did this, who committed the crime, by finding clues. And that's what we normally think of as a mystery. But that's not what a mystery is in the Bible. A mystery in the Bible is something that can only be known by revelation from God. In other words, man cannot by searching find this out. In other words, God has to intervene. God has to turn the light on. Man by nature is in darkness. But God has to turn the light on. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not commanded to seek the Lord. We are commanded to do that. But here's the bottom line. We're not going to find Him until He reveals Himself. Now, that's the case. God must reveal Himself. So, if you understand and know this mystery of the gospel, it's by revelation. The Bible says that the gospel is not the gospel of man. It's the gospel of God. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek or the Gentile also. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. Faith is based upon the revelation of God to His people. And what happens, see, now the natural man won't receive that. Man dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. He doesn't have eyes, spiritual eyes, to see spiritual things. He doesn't have ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear spiritual things. He doesn't have the heart to desire the things of God. You remember when Christ spoke in Matthew 13, the parables of the kingdom. The first parable that He spoke was the parable of the sower and the seed. And He talked about, what He was talking about is the sower, that's Christ Himself and His ministers going about preaching the gospel in the world. And He said in that gospel preaching, you're going to have different responses from people. You'll have some who just turn a deaf ear to it. They don't want to hear it, anything about it. Leave me alone. In one passage, he told his disciples, when that happens, just wipe the dust off your feet and go on. You can't force people to listen. Others, he said, might grab hold of it and claim to believe it, but then later on they'll leave it. He had two kinds of hearers that way. One's called the stony ground here. He left because of persecution over the word. And the word does bring persecution. When you tell people that what they hope, that their refuge and their hope is false, they get upset. And he left. It didn't take any root, the word did. The other was the thorny ground here. The cares of the world and the love for riches choked it out, and he had other things to do. But then he talks about the good ground hearer. Now, the good ground hearer refers to a sinner who's been given a new heart, prepared by God to receive the seed of the word. Well, when he spoke that parable, Matthew 13, the disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? And he told them in Matthew chapter 13, I believe it starts with verse 10, but you can read the whole thing. He said, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. He had preached the gospel in Judea. And the Pharisees and their followers rejected it. But then he turned to the disciples, and he said this. He said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. You've been given spiritual ears. You've been given spiritual eyes. How does that happen? By new birth of the Holy Spirit in the power of God. You must be born again, or you cannot see, savingly see and understand and know and love the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Well, he says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 2, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a revelation from God. Even the hidden wisdom. It's hidden from man. Man is in darkness. And he says, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This is the oldest message in the world. It's older than the world. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, let me read this to you. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1. If I can find it here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, he was writing to his young student named Timothy. And Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And so he tells Timothy in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Isn't that interesting how the Apostle Paul called himself God's prisoner? He was in a place where God put him for a purpose. He says in verse 8, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see that? Now back over in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, he says, or verse 8, he says, which none of the princes of this world knew. This knowledge of God is from God. It is original of God, and it's revealed by God. None of the elite of this world, the smartest, the richest, the most powerful, knew this, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now here's what he's talking about. You know, Paul is looking at it from a purely human point of view. You know, the crucifixion of Christ was foreordained by God before the world began. Peter said that in Acts chapter 2. He talked about those who with wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory, but they did no more than what God determined before to be done. Christ told his disciples, he said, this is the very reason I came into the world, to go to the cross, to die, to be buried, to be raised again the third day. He had to establish righteousness. You see, God saves sinners. God shows mercy to sinners. God's grace is for sinners, but God's salvation God's grace, God's love, God's mercy cannot be displayed and enacted except upon a just ground. And there's only one just ground. That's what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 2. That's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God is a God of love, but His love must be based upon justice satisfied. Now that's where we get the word propitiation. Are you familiar with that word? It's found, it's actually translated in the King James Version, the English Version, three times in that word propitiation, but the actual word is found in other places translated other ways. And one of the places is 1 John 4:10, where he says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, he's not talking about everybody without exception there. He's talking about everyone whom He gave to Christ, everyone whom Christ represented, for whom Christ stood as surety and substitute on the cross and satisfied their debt, satisfied justice to demand their eternal salvation. That's the whole issue right there. So, this crucifixion here that he speaks of, it was ordained by God. But here's the thing. If the princes of this world knew at that time who Jesus Christ was and is, God in human flesh, the Messiah, they wouldn't have crucified Him. They did it out of ignorance. Now that's no excuse. So he says in verse 9, he says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Now, I'm going to talk more about this thing of those who love Him next time. But here's what he's saying. It must be revealed. The hidden mystery revealed. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.